Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Hi, everybody. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. Always excited to be with you in this fine holiday season. The holidays are creeping up on us, and love being able to do my show during this time, especially in talking about the issues that we do deal with. And today we're going to be talking a lot about life transformation and about ways to do that and you know, issues and things people have in life right now around that topic. And we have a guest with us, Charles Eduardos, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Charles Eduardos, he's a native of Cleveland, Ohio, actually where I live now. He's been an ordained minister 35 years. He's an experienced corporate coach, trainer, facilitator, and he's a registered corporate coach with a Worldwide Association of Business Coaches. He's a certified hypnotherapist and certified NLP practitioner, and has worked with many organizations over the years. He's an active listener who gives a different perspective to perceive barriers and provides an integral focus and flexibility to individuals, clients, and groups. He takes care, I love this, he takes care of people without taking on their baggage. He'll defend anyone who seeks his protection and is also protective of his own boundaries. Charles's clarity leaves him well-equipped to take on the most demanding clients, customers, and colleagues. He'll listen to them, do what's right for them, and let them have their say without taking it personally. Charles is an excellent communicator with a great sense of humor and the ability to get his message across with clarity. He can recognize talents and abilities in people and help them see their gifts so they can use them. He has a strong understanding of business principles and human behavior and spirituality. His diverse background, deep knowledge, and experience of coaching process makes him a powerful agent of change. Charles has been involved in many different initiatives, both as board member and leader in various community initiatives. He provides consulting, workshops, seminars on lots of soft skills and strategic planning. He's an award-winning conference speaker, and he's presented all over the country, including Cleveland Clinic, Department of Justice, and many more. He's also won awards for speaking at national conferences and has been published in several newsletters and magazines. Charles Eduardos, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hey, I am happy to be here with you, Lori. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're so glad we could get you to come on the show and very excited to kind of, you know, hear your thoughts just around life and people and change and all the wonderful things that you've dealt with in working with people and organizations. And I can't help but think, you know, we are around the holidays time, and my listeners are of all different backgrounds, different faiths. Perhaps some of them don't have a faith particular that they follow. Some of them are in all levels of happiness, from, you know, sorrow, especially during the holiday time, to joyous time. So again, our listeners are varied, and you know, I'm looking forward to putting out there again good positive information for them.
Yeah.
So what I'd love to do is tell us a little bit about you and your background. I know I just did a nice big long bio on you, but tell us things about you that you'd like people to know that maybe wouldn't be in a bio.
Okay. Well, it's a crazy path, a crazy journey. As I had mentioned to you just prior to the program, I started in radio broadcasting when I was still in high school. And back in the late 60s, I was actually on WMMS, the rock station here in the Cleveland area, and that was way before the buzzard emerged, buzzard radio, and did some television when I was down south with ABC affiliate down there, and really was enjoying it. And I had a very unfortunate accident to kind of change the course of my life. And you bring, Lori, a very I think, poignant point because there's so much going on around spirituality, and we even see that different companies are looking at spirituality in the workplace, and so there's been somewhat of a consciousness shift. And for me, I don't think it really matters whatever a person's faith base is. It needs to be recognized. And the reality is there has been a lot of stuff within institutionalized religion that has been a turnoff for a lot of people. And I just encourage them, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there is a lot to be gained around happiness and just finding your place within your own personal spirituality and spiritual practice, as it were, whether it's meditating or whatever you do, yoga. It's just good to have these types of exercises and everything help contribute to a person's well-being and their happiness. And it helps release all those neurological happy juices, the epinephrine and endorphins and what have you, that keep a smile on our face.
Right. So you started off in broadcasting, and then obviously you have been in ministry for many years, and then yes. You have such a wide variety in background. I mean, how does that all happen?
Well, trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, and I think I finally found it. So ministry came because there's always been an interest in the spiritual aspect of life for me, and for many years I was a tent maker, and by that I mean I was doing ministry kind of part-time on the side while working regular jobs. I worked for Air Reduction Corporation. They had a welding school down on 55th where I was the director of vocational education. I worked for about 5 years on the corporate staff of Figge International. I was the corporate welding engineer for them. And actually was known for a few years as the pistol packing preacher, as I was, in fact, a certified law enforcement officer. And I think the diversity in background has helped me when I work with people from all walks of life. And as you said in the introduction, you know, from Cleveland Clinic to nonprofit organizations to grassroots organizations, individuals from factory workers to corporate executives, it doesn't matter. Because of the background, the varied background, it has helped me to relate at all levels and have an appreciation, I think, for people wherever they are.
Well, really, that's a wonderful way to look at it, because a lot of times when we're going through life and figuring it out, especially through careers and such, we think, oh, that was a waste of time. What I've learned in my years is it never is.
No.
Somehow you always say, boy, I'm glad I know how to do that, even though I really don't use it. You take it with you in whatever work out there that you're doing, whether it's volunteer, whether it's paid, whether it's internship, whatever. So right. It's interesting to hear that, because then you go, you know, even into business, you're going to go with a variety types of people and types of organizations. So that's very interesting, especially that you were on MMS, you know, as a DJ. That's pretty cool too. I think people probably are like, wow, that's a really, you know, you're a hip, cool guy, you know, and it gives you that along with it. So that's good. So,
yeah.
So, you know, we talk about life transformation. I mean, what a big term here that we're using. And I mean, I've had some big epiphanies in my life, you know, that happened a little later in life, in my 40s, a lot of growth and change in my 40s, which was, you know, which needed to happen. And I was ready when I was ready. So when you talk about, like to hear more about how you define life transformation and how you teach that and what it is. I mean, if you want to talk about your victorious living system or talk about life transformation or what you do, love to get into that so we can start talking about it.
Sure. Well, it comes down to, Laurie, I think all of us within our particular context, our family context, our cultural context, even within the time context. I was raised, I came up as a kid in the 50s and 60s, graduated from high school in 1966. So we are essentially the product of the context that we come out of and the things that we learn and how we learn how to navigate this thing called life. And that basically happens as our systems, our mapping systems, our thinking systems are put into place. And a lot of this, well, most of it happens pretty much subconsciously. It's going on. We don't even know it, but we learn from our primary, secondary caregivers. We get our worldview and our outlook. And as we grow older, and of course, I think we all in our teenage years and early adult years, we go through that rebellious stage where we start to question. But again, we're conditioned by media, the news media, radio, television, you name it. We've got all these different influences. And as I tell folks all the time, it's not what happens to you that's important. What's important is how you choose to respond to it. Things can happen and you say, oh, that's really crappy, you know. But as I just heard you say, you know, well, wait a minute, there was something for me to learn in that. And I am wiser and my boundaries have expanded by just having gone through this experience. So learning about our mindset, learning what our internal map is and how we go about defining good, bad, right, wrong, resourceful, unresourceful, and then discovering that, wait a minute, I've got this very simple thing called choice that essentially I'm always making. Even in those moments when we say, I had no choice, there are always choices. And for many people, I found that that's the epiphany for them. That's the major epiphany that, wait a minute, I do have a choice. I don't have to be angry, but I have essentially been conditioned and programmed to be angry, to take things personally. And yes, it is challenging not to take many things personally, yet the more we work at it and the more we exercise this thing called choice and the more we learn about how our mind actually works, then we do become more and more empowered to choose happiness, to choose a different mindset that is going to serve us and that's going to help propel us in the direction that we want to go in our lives. So, and I ask this question a lot, so I'm going to ask it now. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, that's a really good question to ask, too. You know, it's so interesting because I teach college classes, and I'm teaching people how to be counselors, okay? And okay. In one of my classes, we talk, we use the specific word you use, worldview. How do you understand in my world, it's for them, it's clients. It's people coming in with, you know, major issues, addiction, et cetera.
Right.
How can anybody really understand anybody else without understanding their worldview? And the way we have taught it to our students, worldview is you have to know somebody's history, culture. You said it all, Charles. Who did raise them? It might not be their parents. It could be other people.
Right.
It could be foster parents.
Right.
It could be
right.
Where was your influence? Because until you really understand a person's how they think about life. Do they look as I have to laugh, as a quote in one of the books I teach from says, do you look at life as a veil of tears, or do you look at life, you know, with opportunity, et cetera? So, you know, with all that, it does make me think, just bringing people to light about understanding their own worldview, let alone somebody else's worldview, understand your own worldview, because a lot of times when you say choice, back in the day, I felt very limited in choices. I think a lot of people do, because you didn't even perceive it as a choice not to do the thing your family told you to do. You didn't perceive anything as a choice to go against anything that didn't feel right if you were told it was supposed to feel right. Those weren't considered choices even. So your mind didn't even go there. So this is, it takes me back a level to opening up, having to step back. And this is the part I'd love to talk about now. The part about stepping back and just asking yourself the questions, like what kinds of questions, you know, I'd love to brainstorm this with you. You probably do it all the time, but what are the questions that we should be asking ourselves? If we never thought, well, I just go along with life. I just do what I'm told. I never really thought about it. I go to work, I raise kids, or I don't raise kids, whatever I do. But to step back and ask the right questions to begin understanding your own worldview and who you are is the first step. And I'll ask you, does that make sense?
No, yeah, it does. And I think you said Einstein, I believe it was, said that if he only had 1 hour to solve a problem that was going to save the world, he would spend the first 55 minutes in determining the right question. Because if he had the right question, he could solve the problem in 5 minutes. And there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of times we're asking the wrong question, or a question that is not as resourceful. For example, when we begin to understand a little bit about how we function and operate in our thinking, how our mind works, how our perceptual processes work, how our internal map of reality works, and how we essentially create our experience. Life, as we experience it, is our own creation. So a person may say, oh, well, I'm not creating it, that I was incarcerated as a prisoner of war. And I think about Viktor Frankl, despite his situation in Nazi war camp and everything, he was in so many ways very free. And of course, his book, Man's Search for Meaning. So out of a horrific circumstance, there was a whole lot of good that came out of it for him, and a lot of self-discovery and everything, which goes back to, it's not what happens, but how we choose to respond to it. So part of what I do is help people kind of, dissect. We go through, where I explain to them how the mind works, the subconscious, the autonomic, sympathetic, parasympathetic. There are certain things that are going on that are beyond our conscious awareness, and how we are only able to process so much information. How out of the millions of bits of sensory information that we're receiving in any given moment, there's only a certain amount of that we can actually process consciously. And that's a good thing. But then we do have some level of control over what we do notice. And this is where we begin to recognize the power that we have, and where we begin to empower ourselves. I tell my client, they thank me, oh, you've transformed, you've changed my life. And I'm like, I didn't do it. I just showed you how to do it. You did it yourself. And this is why with Victorious Living, we're all about empowering and releasing human potential through a heightened self-awareness. understanding how the mind works and then running your own mind instead of allowing situations, circumstances, and other people run your mind. So,
and when we think about, you know, as I said, the questions,
yeah,
to bring yourself to light, to open up your mind, I think personally, one thing that really hits me is, you know, what do I really believe?
Yes.
Is true. What do yes. I really believe is true? Because,
yeah.
You know, and you have to get real with yourself, and it's a little scary to go there because you then have to ask these questions of yourself of things that you were brought up with.
Yes.
You have to say, does this really resonate with me? Or,
right.
or is this something man made up? Is this something my parents made up? Is this something that they say because they were just told to do so?
Right.
What do I really feel in my heart of hearts? And for many years, I didn't know the answers to those things. And I explored some of those things, okay, especially around spirituality. I don't think it was my first quarter in college, but it was my freshman year. I took philosophy, scared the living crap out of me. I was like, oh my God, what atheist? You know, I mean, I came home and I think I told my mom. She made a funny, my family was, you know, like to be funny, and we used humor with everything, but she just said, don't be a heathen, whatever you do. I mean, it was always a joke. And I said, Mom, I mean, when you study it, it's so good for us to know, understand all types of whatever beliefs are, because then you can really make the right choice, if we use that again. And,
yes.
and hearing all these different, you know, even about different religions I never knew about, even about, you know, an agnostic philosophy, an atheist philosophy, or whatever it might be, but it is scary to an 18-year-old. So when you have to ask yourself these questions, like, what do I really, if my heart of hearts, and I'm only talking to me, so don't be scared, it's only you know, what do you really resonate with? And if you don't know, you owe it to yourself to go figure it out, because it'll make things more clear. As odd as this sounds, going through all that makes things more clear when you have to make decisions in life, to know where you stand, to be able to say, okay, I'm not wavering on this because I know where my heart, my ethics, my whatever, my morals, values, whatever they are, I feel them, I think them, they are what I really believe to be. So that process, and I assume you go through some type of processes. People have to self-actualize on some level before they can allow all this to work.
Oh, absolutely. And then the conflict, Lori, that many people have, I've had it, you've, I'm sure, had instances where, you know, again, we're conditioned, we're brought up in the formative years where what we call the critical mind is established between birth and approximately 8 years of age, where we learn right, wrong, and we learn our values, and we're told and programmed and conditioned as to what we should believe. I had a client had a major breakthrough when he was talking to me about, you know, what should, and I actually have in my office a roll of toilet tissue on my desk, and it's kind of a conversation piece. People ask me, I see them looking at it and they're kind of almost afraid to ask me, okay, what's the toilet paper about? And so I bring it up and I said, you're probably wondering what the toilet paper's for. That's for people that like to should on themselves and should on me. I don't like that. So here's the toilet paper in case we have a shooting episode. we learn these things. Oh, I should. Well, maybe not. This epiphany that this gentleman had was this whole thing about, from a religious aspect, you shouldn't question God. And I said, well, you know, that's, I don't get that, because if you look at the Bible, I mean, King David questioned God, and several of the prophets questioned God. A few of them even yelled at God and got mad at God and everything. So I think you're safe. And part of my work is to help people, help validate them, and let them find a comfort in just the fact that they are seeing things differently, and it's okay. It's okay to see things differently. It's okay to maybe experiment a little bit. And even people will ask me, well, what are you? And I tell them I'm Zen Luther Costal, so that usually puts them into a trance, you know. But
I know exactly what you mean by that. I love it.
So, yeah. But here, you know, just the caricature and how we have been conditioned to our understanding of God and who God is in the particularly Judeo-Christian realm is really nothing at all like the God that I have come to know. And that's, again, my perception as I have sought to just find my particular worldview. And unlike some of my colleagues and even some other Christians, I'm not trying to see how many people I can send to hell. You know, it's just I don't quite get that. I'm from a different mindset, I guess. But back to just the individuals, letting them know it's okay to question. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. Question everything. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that brings people to, it starts to bring them into a place of a little bit more freedom, a little bit more liberty, where they can grow and expand and discover the potential amazing person that they really are. Because, again, being a person of color, I was, and in the time that I was brought up, the guidance counselor at the school, when I scored so high on an IQ test, the guidance counselor told my mother and I, well, I should, you know, he should just learn a trade, because there's no way that he's ever going to work in corporate America or anything like that. And I thought about her, that guidance counselor, when I was getting on a private company jet when I worked for Figge on the corporate staff at Figge International. I said, wow. And I guess for my mother and for me, there was the opportunity to accept and just buy into that view at the time, and been stuck for the rest of my life, you know. But there was a pushback. Respectful and gentle pushback on that, which essentially equated to saying, no, well, I don't accept that. I don't believe that. And my mom, basically, her opinion was, you can be whatever you want to be. You put your mind to it and you do the work and you can accomplish whatever you want to in life. So people, black, white, purple, green, there are people that don't necessarily believe that about themselves and get stuck in a mindset that has been imposed upon them, and they don't feel the freedom or the liberty to push back on that. So they acquiesce, they tolerate, and end up, sadly, living many times miserable lives because they're doing I don't know who the heck they are, but what they say, this is how I should be. Well, not necessarily. Who do you want to be? Turn on the dream machine and imagine and start to paint those pictures in your mind. And instead of asking, why am I living this life and focusing on what you don't like about what you have, and start asking, why not? Why can't I do this? What are some ways that I can begin to move myself into the position to have the life that I really would like to have? And it's really not that difficult. It's really not rocket science. It may take a while, but as the saying goes, inch by inch, it's a cinch.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you have this embedded in you, I suppose some people let it go easier than others, depending upon their makeup, you know, right. their genes, if you will, and also their mindset. But, you know, that's got to take a while, even for someone like you coming along in someone's life to say, okay, we're going to move inch by inch. And I would imagine some people really resist that.
Yeah, and part of it is comfort zone. You know, it's interesting. For example, there was a situation with a young woman who had been in the life of prostitution and had the opportunity to get away from this man that was controlling her life, she was bringing all the money to him and whatnot. And so she was going to be given a new identity. She was going to be given a job and a place to stay and basically a fresh start in a different, total different location. And the fear of the unfamiliar, it was so unfamiliar to her that it literally scared the poop out of her, and she didn't do it, and she continued to live the miserable life, and it was even more miserable because she kept beating herself up for not taking the leap. But here again, that's one of the examples. You know, we get stuck in a comfort zone. And I just tweeted the other day, you know, life begins just beyond our comfort zone. We have to sometimes dare, and David Viscott, I think it's out of print now, but David Viscott had a book out years ago called Risking. And he just talked about that whole thing of taking a risk. It's how we look at risk and what we're willing to risk, and the natural tendency for homeostasis. We want to keep things the same. It's interesting that change is the only thing that is inevitable in life, and it's the thing that we resist the most.
Which is odd because well, we like our comfort. And I love that saying, life is just beyond the comfort zone. I've never heard it really put that way. I've heard it said a million different ways, but I like that because I have to tell you, I'm just starting to write my first book.
And, I saw that. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. Let me tell you, you know, I was reading somewhere, I don't know where it was, I'm reading all the time, about this person saying, I think it might have been Regina Brett. She works for The Plain Dealer. You probably know Regina, but about everybody does. And she's in her, I think it was in her book I'm reading, and she said, I can't tell you the number of people that go to writing workshops, writing seminars, writing conferences, writing classes, and they never put pen to paper.
Yes.
And you have to find a way to take that leap. And yes. You know, I've read, I wrote a chapter. I said, what is this? And I threw it out. I said, I need to research a little bit more. I don't know what I'm doing. And I did read a couple books, and I started making notes and outlines, and I think it was enough. And I said, am I going to be that person? Because I've been that person before. I was going to flip houses. Yeah. I took classes. I was going to do everything. I almost had a house. Fear came in.
Yeah.
So with this book, you know, I said, okay, can I start doing this? And yesterday was the day, and it flowed right off pen, you know, well, now it would be keyboard to keyboard screen, not pen and paper, but you know, it flowed. And today I got into my second chapter about areas of discomfort, writing about a certain part of my life that, you know, I vowed I really wouldn't do, or really I wasn't going to think about, but I have to do it. And it was really hard today. So I remember reading her book, like, if risk is right beyond your comfort zone, or if the rewards are right beyond your comfort zone, that you've got to just go do it. Because if I don't live these things, how can I be part, How can I be a happiness contributor? How can I be that if I don't actually go and do it and be able to talk about my experiences or live them and hopefully maybe I can help somebody someday. But I'll tell you, Charles, and we're with Charles Eduardo's, to all of our listeners right now, we're talking about life transformation and I'm doing it. And I know there's going to be editing and I know there's going to be a lot and it's going to change, but it felt so good yesterday to look at, okay, there's the first, 1600 words. You know, now that I've started, I didn't get stuck because I had a problem of doing that for years where I would get into something, research, prepare, and then not do it. And I realized I was afraid of money for a long time. And then I got over that. I had to get over that because so I could do the hurdle of this thing. And I know this thing is going to be big and impactful. So I thought, Lori, you can't not be who you're meant to be. It's done. Those days are over. And it's manifesting through, the writing of this book. So I clearly, and I think a lot of our listeners probably have something in their life where they think and they say, okay, what's the reward is right just beyond the comfort zone. So I ask our listeners, and feel free to call in. Most of our listeners, Charles, 95% of our listeners will listen through podcasts. But if anybody's out there and want to talk about that thing that's going on, want to just say it to the world, you can call us at 888-627-6008. You can call our line and talk to Charles Eduardo's and I about that. But, that's my little story. And I'll tell you, it does feel, the word is almost, it's invigorating. Yes. It's like, I'm doing it, finally.
And what happens at a neurological level there is we essentially function in four primary brainwave areas. There's the beta brainwaves, which is general waking consciousness. That's where we're at pretty much right now. As we consciously work at it and develop, we move into alpha. Alpha level is deep relaxation where, we can be in intense work, but we've got that calm stream running through us where it can be as intense as it wants to be, but we're at that alpha brainwave level. That's something that we can learn and condition ourselves toward. That is where we go for many high-stress people. When they do get into meditation and yoga, they start to learn how to function at a conscious alpha brainwave level. Then there's the theta, which is associated with REM sleep and also associated with high levels of creativity. If you got into a flow with your writing, it's very possible that you were into an alpha, low theta brainwave state. And there is a feeling, and I tell people, feel into, because we're thinking, feeling people. Thinking and feeling are not two things. They're one thing. We think, feel. For every thought, there is an associated feeling state that goes along with that. And as we learn that, and then we learn how to elicit those states that we desire and how to even amplify those states so that we can, whenever we want to, as we say, I'm going to be hip now, we can flip the switch and be there, So, and that's an awesome thing. We see it with athletes, when they we look at LeBron James, when he is on and he's just popping the three-pointers and busting his moves down the court and everything in that flow state. Well, we can learn how to do it in whatever our particular brand of business. For LeBron, basketball is his business. You as a writer, as a talk show host, commentator, as a teacher even, and I would venture to say, Lori, you've probably had those moments in your classroom where you just get into a flow and that time just flies. I mean, you look up and you say, I can't believe where the time went. You know, our time is up already. But it's awesome, and it's a wonderful feeling when you learn how to call that up whenever you want to. And that's part of what I do with my clients, whether I'm working with a team, helping them enhance communication and appreciation for their individuality and uniqueness, and help them see the personality of the team, how each one of them as an individual comes together and gives this team now its own personality. But we have more control, and it's just a matter of learning that. And part of it is connecting with the feeling that is associated with it. And as you said, going back and asking the right question. I tell people, don't ask why. You know, we ask, well, why did you do that? We ask children, well, why did you do that? And we as adults will ask our kids that, and half the time we don't know why we did what we did. The question is, how did you go about doing it? What informed you internally or externally to respond in the way that you did? And then I talk about the difference between reacting and responding. And so I'll ask you right now, if you had your choice, as you understand the word react and as you understand the word respond, which do you think would be most resourceful for you, to react or to respond?
I would think respond.
Okay. And tell me why.
My perception of what those words mean. When I hear react, I automatically think, boom, super fast.
Yeah.
But sometimes when that's how I perceive the word. Okay. Because I perceive the word that way. React is really good in emergency situations to me.
Yes.
Respond to me is, I've had to take a step back and sometimes take a second. Mm-hmm. And I look at responding personally the way I view the word. I see responding as maybe taking a deep breath for a second and responding in the way that I feel will be the best benefit for me.
Okay.
Hopefully it is for other people too, but
sure,
I see react as like just boom, whatever comes out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very good. And see that here again, I asked the question, not that I'm looking for the correct response, but part of that is somewhat of a demonstration of how I go about connecting into the person that I'm working with, their thought processes. And I listen to the word choices, listen to the predicates and everything, and I can pretty much begin then to understand how their internal map is. And your response to that was good. In law enforcement, we have the saying where we talk about how we respond according to our training, so that in a crisis, we train for crisis situations, so that, you know, we train in it so that when it actually happens, we are better prepared to respond quickly in the most resourceful way. Doesn't always work. And we won't even talk about some of the things that have happened in the news recently, but world is, you know, that's the premise, that if we prepare for it and train for these different eventualities, we can respond much more quickly and not get caught flat-footed, so to speak. So I think that's a good strategy for, again, all people in their lives. My mom used to say, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
It's a common saying. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you probably just asking that question learn a lot about people, because, and that's the whole thing to our listeners. It's, you know, about asking other people and asking yourself, again, the right questions, because if you heard what I said, you know, you're dealing with somebody, that's me, who is a quick reactor.
Yeah.
probably got her mouth, you know, in a little bit of trouble, and then turned around and said, "Oh, now I feel bad."
Yeah.
So over the years, that's why I respond in that way, because over the years, I have tried to be a little more thoughtful. Sometimes coming off the cuff, us extroverts who come off the cuff, it can be really good. It could be funny. You know, I almost always get a laugh and I come right super off the cuff. But but those of us who are extroverts, you know, we might try to learn to say, you know what, that works for you, but in other emotions, it doesn't. And then you don't, you know, so it's good to take a breath. So you could ask a question and really learn about someone else or yourself by just saying, just by coming up with really thoughtful questions. And that was a question that I would have never thought of. What a thoughtful question, because I think we learn about each other when you ask that question.
Exactly. Questions. I love questions. And I encourage people, be inquisitive. You know, our human tendency is we'll hear what another person is saying, and essentially we hijack it. And we don't hear it in the context of their experience. We have transformed it into our own experience. So we're not really connecting with the person that we're talking to. We have gone off into our own story. And that's where rapport gets lost. That's where you can see where you lose people in conversation, in interaction. We just go off into our own world, as opposed to staying connected, or as we say in neurolinguistic programming, we stay in rapport with the person that we're communicating with.
Well, you know, Charles, I have to laugh because you were saying about, oh, we don't really need to use questions. I've actually asked you like one question and we only have about three more minutes. So you
wow.
Right. I didn't need them, but they're my safety net. And once again, we're in the flow, and that's part of happiness. Being in the flow, where does it go? Is part of the researched piece of happiness, getting yourself in the flow, not knowing where time went. So, and looking at my questions, I really want to do something, you know, as beneficial as possible for our listeners as well. So if you could tell me where you see people getting the most stuck in their lives, and what would you recommend to somebody who kind of wants to take it to the next level? Where would you suggest they begin asking themselves? And then I want to get to what you have going on and how people can reach you. So I'll end with that last question. You know, what happens when people are stuck, and what would you tell them to start with?
Well, I think it starts with just taking some minute, get your favorite cup of whatever, sit down where you're not hurried, turn on the dream machine and write out, determine what do you really want? I had one guy that was a doctor because his dad was a doctor and his granddad was a doctor. And so he became a doctor, and he was living off of what they wanted for him, not what he really wanted to do. And as it turned out, he really loved working on cars. And you can imagine how that may have struck his granddad and his dad when their young grandson, son, doctor decides, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be a car doctor. And that's what he ended up calling himself, the car doctor. And it is happy. He's so much happier now than he was in his lucrative medical practice, because he is living out his destiny and living out what he really wanted from his heart. And that's what I just encourage people. What do you really want? Are you living somebody else's dream, or are you living yours? And we spend money many times going to college, and I'm all for higher education and everything. But I think, you know, look for a good coach, somebody that will challenge you. I tell all of my clients right at the outset, before they even hire me, I said, if at some point I'm not cheesing you off, then I'm not doing my job, because I'm going to challenge. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to make you think in ways that probably you've never thought before, but it's going to be for your own good, and it's going to get you down to not what I want, not what your mom or dad want, or your wife or anybody else, but what you really want, and discovering who you are and where your passion is. You find something that you really love to do and you never work a day in your life. Find that, and your happiness quotient will go through the roof. Absolutely guarantee that. So, you know, take some time and ask yourself, what do I really want? And then ask yourself, okay, what's it going to take for me to get there? And then just start, you know, dream it, plan it, and then make it real.
And that's a big process for some people. So one little bite at a time, like you said,
yep.
1 inch at a time.
Yep.
And wonderful. Well, what I'd like to do is just take the next step here and say, Charles, where can people find your information, find out about you, the products or services that you have? Tell us how we find you.
Well, I am on the web, www.victoriouslivingsystem.com. And I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. If you go to Facebook and just search my name, Charles Eduardos, you'll find, well, I have my own kind of personal page, but then you have the Charles Eduardos CHT, which is my fan page for my practice. Charles Eduardos on LinkedIn, CG Eduardos on Twitter. I'm all over the place. Can't get rid
wonderful.
Of me.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm very glad that you were able to spend some time with us today. It's also wonderful that we're in the same city. So you're going to be hearing from me on email after this, because I want to make sure I stay in touch with you and kind of go from there. But it's been wonderful to hear talk about life transformation. And I hope our listeners who are struggling kind of understand that they're not alone. They can go to the next level and they can get help
yes.
to do that if they need it.
Yes.
So Charles Edwards, it's been wonderful having you on the Happiness Hangout. I really appreciate you and happy holidays.
Same to you, Lori. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Well, what I'd like to do is thank our show sponsors, AirServe of Mentor and AirServe of Strongsville, residential and commercial heating and cooling companies in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Veteran-owned, providing the best warranties and guarantees and best financing in the business. Go to www.airserve.com. That's AIRESERV.com. Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Read the Magic Happens magazine. www.themagichappensnow.com. If you'd like to reach me, you can find me on my very cool digital business card at Lori, L-O-R-I, Peters.123look.com. You can find everything from signing up to my monthly quick read happiness newsletter to all of my articles, information, services. Everything's on the digital business card at www.loripeters.123look.com. Thanks, everybody. See you right after the holidays. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are.
Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are.